Know what you believe, so you can live what you believe. Make it more than a habit of thought and word, but a lifestyle. Make it a lifestyle. I share the opening sentences, which are traditional for Easter Sunday, with scripture from the book of Revelation, and then our affirmation of faith from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hear the news I bring, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. God has raised him up, having loosened the grip of death, because it was not possible for death to hold him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us to God by his blood, worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let us claim our faith together. We believe that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. God's word for today is from John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, called Didymus, that is the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus first came to them. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We do so many things by habit at church, especially in worship. And nothing wrong with that. There's much value in that. There's even a measure of peace in repeating some of the same words and some of the same music. However, when we do that, we always run a risk of forgetting why we do some of the things we do in worship. I've begun to explain in funerals what it is I'm doing at the funeral as a minister. This becomes especially important in the 21st century because fewer people come to any worship service, and some people do not even have funerals, or they do not attend funerals. So let me say what I'm doing and what we are doing in these moments this morning. Worship traditionally meets on Sunday. Today, and we do so because of today, the day we call Easter. We'll talk in a few minutes about what Easter means, but those of the Christian religion began meeting together on Sunday, the first day of the week, because they remembered that was the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the day of resurrection. And so the followers of Jesus have ever since, for almost 2,000 years, met on Sunday, the day of resurrection. And today we join in celebrating with the followers of Jesus around the world for the very same reasons, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And although the Bible, which is the Word of God, is sprinkled throughout our worship service, we've already read it from the Psalms, affirmed our faith from the New Testament, we've sung words that are Bible-based, we've heard a portion of God's Word read to us. And my purpose today as pastor is to open the Word of God, the Bible, for you. And I trust that that means that what I have to say will be helpful to you, because my wish and hope is that I can offer all of us some help in the work of living. And I'm a minister because, well, I lead the church, but I'm a minister of God's Word, which means I'm here to apply the Word of God to our situation. So I'm a minister to open the words of God for you to hear them. Hope for you to come to understand what the God we serve wants to say to you today in your situation. I'm here for you to know God's love, to know God's call and our Lord's peace. And we believe that what God tells us in His Word is true. And I have to talk about Jesus as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus taught about God. Those of the Christian faith, the Christian religion, we claim Jesus is God's Son and as God's special representative, as one who knows the Heavenly Father, Jesus speaks for God. The Lord cares about us more than we realize. The Lord wants to be with us even if we're not sure that we want to be with Him. That is the love of God, that the Lord is caring for you. And the Bible, God's Word, although its words are thousands of years old, still speak to us in our need, just as God intended to tell us about life and death and life beyond death. All the season before this Easter, we have been looking at Jesus' words spoken from His cross of crucifixion, when the Romans killed Him with their practice of capital punishment. Today we look at some of the first words recorded Jesus spoke to the disciples after He saw them when His tomb was found empty and Jesus was resurrected. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." John's Gospel records it twice. These first words to disciples as they cowered for fear together, fear from seeing what they weren't sure that they were seeing in that moment, but also for fear of the Romans, who surely, if the Roman authorities found them, would imprison them and torture them and put them to death. But Jesus blesses them with peace. You and I might use the word peace as a greeting or a word of departure, and might not be or attach any spiritual importance to the word at all. But when Jesus offers peace, it's really important. You see, peace comes from God. The Apostle Paul refers to God as the God of peace. But don't think about world peace or politics. We're talking about a peace of the soul. Jesus in these moments is showing up having been dead. All the news the disciples had seen and had heard didn't make them glad about Jesus. It alarmed them. They still didn't know where Jesus' body was, and because of the Romans, they couldn't very well go looking for Jesus' body. And then that Sunday night, Jesus appears and says, "Peace." Jesus is telling them, it's okay. It's all okay. Everything that has happened is okay. All of it. Jesus will make clear later that the fact that the disciples abandoned Jesus at His arrest does not change their relationship. The fact that Peter denied Jesus during Jesus' trial doesn't change Jesus' relationship to Peter. The fact that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried is not cause for alarm. It's all okay. The relationship with God is now one of peace. Jesus' death doesn't show that there's something wrong with Jesus or his message. On the contrary, Jesus' death shows there is something very right about Jesus. Jesus is perfectly obedient. Jesus was perfectly obedient to the Heavenly Father because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the great I Am. The resurrection demonstrates that. So when Jesus says, "Father, forgive them," while they are nailing Jesus to the cross, that means we really are forgiven. When Jesus says that we should forgive others because Jesus forgave us, Jesus means it. When Jesus tells a notorious criminal that because the criminal accepts Jesus, that the criminal will be with Jesus in paradise, Jesus means it. When Jesus says that he has finished the work that makes Jesus the peace between us and God, Jesus means it. Jesus is correct. Jesus has spoken rightly. Jesus had said at the Passover meal to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Believe in God, Jesus said. Believe also in me. God and me, Jesus. We're one and the same. So when Jesus brings peace to you, you have peace indeed. Jesus' resurrection proves that Jesus is who he said he is. So Jesus has the authority to forgive our sins. Jesus can make peace between us sinners and God the Father. Jesus will give us a peaceful relationship with God rather than a relationship of punishment and condemnation. Jesus can give us a new life so we don't keep doing the same wrong things over and over and over. Jesus was once reprimanded for declaring a man's sins forgiven. The Jewish leader said that only God can forgive sins. Jesus could have said, "Right on, brother." Or Jesus could have said, "You have spoken correctly, and I am." But Jesus knew that the man wasn't getting the connection between Jesus and the forgiving of sins, so Jesus decided to prove he had the power to forgive by demonstrating the healing of the forgiven man. Now, anyone who has even a passing familiarity with the Bible knows the Thomas story, the disciple Thomas who had trouble putting all the pieces together. Thomas's doubt is not about the facts were right in front of Thomas. He just hadn't put all the pieces together until he touched Jesus. Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Stop doubting and believe. Different Bible versions offer different readings of that same phrase. The traditional King James Version states, "Be not faithless, but believing." And from there, no more disbelief. Believe. Don't be lacking in trust, that is, in Jesus, but have trust. Be not unbelieving, but believing. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Stop doubting and believe. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer. Believe in God, believe also in me, said Jesus. Receive my peace. because peace comes from God, and I am He. So many people want to believe that Jesus was just a great man, but Jesus was and is also a great God. Believe in God, believe also in me. I am from the Father, I go to the Father, Jesus said. I will prepare a place at the Heavenly Father's so you can be there with me when I come to bring you to the heavenly places. Jesus, who passed from death into life, will do so for us in this life and the next. There is peace in believing. There is peace in receiving the peace that Jesus brings. The Apostle Paul would write that it's a peace that is beyond our understanding, but it's still yours, and it's still available to you. There is peace in believing, and there's peace in receiving the peace that Jesus brings. I close with two other statements Jesus made about himself and peace from John's Gospel in the 14th chapter and in the 16th chapter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen.